Glory. Amen. Let's celebrate our Father for such an awesome class, such awesome explanations. Amen. I said amen. I know you have learned something. It's impossible to be in this kind of an environment and not be transformed. Please, let's celebrate our Father again. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, just walk around. Let's celebrate one another. Just walk around, celebrate 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Just celebrate one another. You can come back to your seat. Glory to God. Amen. All right, we go straight. We just continue with our class on pioneering a walk. Hallelujah. Wow. You know you are blessed, right? I know what I'm talking about. Glory to God. Okay, so pioneering a walk. We began to look at the gathering, or in the last class, we were still looking at the gathering. Of course, we saw that worship was done in both publicly and from house to house. And we saw from the book of Acts 20:20 when Paul was speaking to the elders from Ephesus on how he did not hide anything from them. He said, "How I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I've showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. I've showed you publicly and from house to house." And we say that the gatherings or the assembly has always taken place both publicly and from house to house. And we saw different scriptures on how it was done in the early church. We saw from Jesus in Martha's house, Jesus in Zacchaeus' house, you know. We went on and we saw how Jesus now sent his disciples to go and to preach. And when he sent them to go, he gave them a mandate. And we can see that the disciples were involved actively in the advancement of his cause. And then towards rounding up, we began to look at the fact that, you know, there were different houses in the epistles. You know, looking at the epistles, there were different churches in different houses, and we saw a number of persons who made their houses available. And we saw how Paul had a custom of teaching from house to house. And we will just continue to build up on what we already have been seeing over time. Yesterday, towards rounding up, we saw when do we gather. We began to look at when do we gather. Was that what we looked at? Yes. When do we gather? And then we saw from the book of Acts chapter 2 verse 1 that they that gladly received the word were baptized. And the same day we are added to the church. How many people? 3,000 people in Acts as a result of the teachings of Peter when he explained the scriptures. And when they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And of course, when people were added, he said in verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers, they continued in the apostles' doctrine, the apostles' didache, or mode of teaching, or mode of explanation. And in verse 46 of that Acts chapter 2, we saw also that they continuing daily. So we established the services we are daily. They were with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. So daily they were together. They met on a daily basis. And we said that the key fact about the church was that they gathered daily. And so we began to emphasize the importance of the church meetings or the gatherings. Now, we also saw the word steadfastly, because if they continued steadfastly, we said that the word steadfastly is translated from a word that means to adhere to one or to be an adherent. Amen. Did we say that? All right. So that is where we should start from. Praise God. The word steadfast, because he says in Acts chapter 2, verse 46, they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. But in verse 42, he says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' what? The apostles' doctrine. All right, so notice something. The word steadfast in verse 42 was translated from a word that means to adhere to one. From a word that means to adhere to one. To adhere to one. Or to be an adherent. To be an adherent. To adhere to one or to be an adherent. To be devoted or constant to one. To be devoted or constant to one. To adhere, to be an adherent, to be devoted and constant or constant to one. Amen. It also means to be steadfast. It also means to be steadfast. Or steadfastly. It also means to be steadfastly attentive to. To be steadfastly attentive to. Yeah. To be steadfastly attentive to. Or to give unremitting care to a thing. To give unremitting care to a thing. Unremitting care, undivided attention, not distracted, not carried about. Amen. So it means to be steadfastly attentive unto, to give unremitting care to a thing. Glory to God. To give unremitting care to a thing. Now, the frequency of their gathering is a lesson for us. They met daily with one accord in the temple, a breaking of bread from house to house. All right, so it's important to know that there was consistency to their gathering. That is what we are talking about. There was a consistency to their gathering. A consistency to their gathering. So they had public meetings where they met in the temple. They also met in homes of fellow believers. They met in the temple. They have daily meetings, daily gatherings, where they met in the temple and in the homes of believers. So meetings were done in the temple. And we saw the temple, right? Meetings in the temple, going to the synagogue. And of course, they met in homes. Isn't that wonderful when people can meet in homes? You know, a lot of people don't know that that meeting in homes has its place and is very vital. It's actually a vital aspect of ministry or in ministry. Meeting in homes, very, very vital. During COVID, people couldn't go to churches, public places, right? All right, is that true? But was there a possibility of meeting in houses? Yes. Huh? Exactly. Meetings were taking place in houses. Church services were going on for us in Power City. Services were going on. All right? Services were going on. You know, you hear services were going on. In Calabar, where I am, services were going on in different, and I go through the reports. We stay in our house. Other people were in their houses. Because you can't move out. You can't get on the street. I mean, you can't get on the highways. You can come out of your gate and look at the street. Sometimes it looks like you are the only one on that street. Like rapture has taken place. You know that kind of rapture, right? That kind of rapture. Where some are taken and some are left behind. You know, but it's an experience, isn't it? It's an experience. But even with the lockdown, churches were vibrant in homes. Brethren could still meet together. Brethren were fellowshipping together. There were services going on. Bible study was going on. Of course, there were people who didn't have such privileges, and all they could resort to was online. And thank God that throughout that period, our Father was teaching throughout. Papa was teaching every blessed day. And people in their homes, there were people, that was the first time they encountered him. And they began to follow him. Because everybody had time. Everybody had time. I'm telling you, everybody had time. So services were going on in houses. So it therefore means that we can have vibrant services or fellowships in homes. We can have vibrant fellowships in homes. Except the leader does not understand or doesn't know what to do. Because the way it is vibrant when it is public, it's supposed to have the same vibrancy, the same commitment, the same dedication. I mean, one's dedication too, in the same light, publicly and from house to house. Praise God. I said, praise God. So, meeting in houses provided believers an opportunity to demonstrate hospitality. Meeting in houses provided an opportunity for believers, an added opportunity of demonstrating hospitality to fellow believers. You know, it's an opportunity, right? Especially when you can afford. An opportunity to do what? Added opportunity to demonstrate hospitality. That's why in the course of our teaching yesterday, we said that it is not a wrong thing if you can afford meals. It's not wrong. Becomes a love feast after the word. If it is drinks, if it is snacks, whatever you can afford. And if it is water, it is acceptable. And if there's no water, no problem. Nobody is angry. But ensure if anybody asks of water to drink, since it is in a house, water is natural. Is there any house without drinking water? Amen. That's the list. And it is always readily available. Praise God. So this happened how many times? It happened daily. Praise God. Now notice also that there were specific meeting times. There were specific meeting times. Acts chapter 3 verse 1. There were specific meeting times. Acts chapter 3 verse 1, it says, and Peter, he said, now Peter and John went up where? Together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. The ninth hour is 3 o'clock in the afternoon, because the Jewish time begins at 6 a.m. So when you hear the ninth hour is in reference to 3 p.m. 3 p.m. All right? 3 p.m. All right? At 3 p.m. Some translation will have it 3 o'clock. All right? 3 p.m. So the hour of prayer. Okay? So there was no randomness to their gathering. There was timing to it. There was no randomness to their gathering. There was timing to it. People don't just appear when they want, disappear when they want. No. There was no randomness to it. There was timing. In other words, we know when we start, we know when we close. In Power City, the midweek service is from, during the conference, the 30 days of glory, the service begins, the doors are open from 5, you know, and at 5:30 people are seated. By 6 o'clock, Papa comes up to start teaching, and by 8 o'clock, we are out of the house. On Sunday morning, Sunday school begins at 3 o'clock, at 7 a.m., 7 a.m., all right, for the first service, and then the first service is over before 10 a.m., and then for the second service, at 10 o'clock in the morning, the Sunday school begins. And then by the time it is 11, Papa comes up to teach. And so there is timing to it. Amen. Why is there timing to it? Imagine telling somebody, well, we come to church anytime we want and close anytime we want. You will be alone. All right? So we can see that there is a pattern that is introduced. And in this pattern, there is timing. Okay? So the church had set apart times in the day where they gathered to pray. The church had set apart times in the day where they gathered to pray. Set apart times where they gathered to pray. Set apart times. And he calls that gathering. He calls that gathering their own company. He calls that gathering their own company. We are going to see it in a bit in Acts chapter 4. He calls that gathering their own company. Amen. Everybody has his own company. Everybody and everyone has his own company. Let's read the book of Acts chapter number 4, verse 23. We'll read it together. 23 and verse 24. Acts 4:23 and verse 24. Hallelujah. I want us to get there, and we'll read that together. Hallelujah. Are you there? All right, let's read Acts chapter 4, verse 23. Everybody, clean and clear, want to go. I've been let go. They went to their own company and reported all that the chief priest and the elders had said unto them. Verse 24, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which had made heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them. Next verse 31. Let's read verse 31. Are you there? They want to go. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were filled with what? The Holy Ghost, and did what? Speak the word of God with boldness. Glory to God. They went to their company, and when they went back to their company, observe the nature of their prayers. Observe the nature of their prayers. When they went back to their company, they were not praying fall and die. Even though they were enemies, the people were against them. They went back to their own company. The nature of their prayer is vital. Despite the enemies, nobody prayed they should die. Despite the enemies, nobody prayed that Angels should pursue them on slippery grounds. Let their children be fatherless, and let their wives be widows. Let their intestines flow through their anus. You know, those were, you know, some wicked prayers like that. Very wicked prayers, and they call it dangerous prayers. When you do that, we know your partner in crime. We know your team. We know where you come from. We know your company. Praise God. So they were praying, and the prayer was for boldness. And the boldness was not the boldness to approach a wife that they want to marry. All right? A particular brother carried a sister for 3 days, and on the third day, he couldn't still open his mouth to tell her what was in his heart. He said, "Sister, you know what? We need to pray for our country, Nigeria." Bros, you know, be man again. So the sister had understood. She said, "Tell me you want to marry me, Joe." He said, "Yes, actually, no. Actually." Because she knew what it was. The one, she knew what was on his mind. The two, she knew. He called her, "Let's meet there." And they went to the place called there. And they were all seated. And then they're talking, "You will bring one unnecessary gist that is not in sync with the purpose of the meeting." The two, brother could not open his mouth. The three, when he finally opened, instead of him to talk the talk, he said, "Let's pray for Nigeria." Kai. Souls are buried. Let's pray. Praise God. So their prayer was not a prayer for boldness to approach. It was boldness to preach the gospel. Boldness to preach the gospel. Amen. And so we see that prayer answered in verse 31. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Glory to God. So paying attention, or closer attention to Luke's submission, it throws up the following fact. Paying attention, closer attention to Luke's submission, or what Luke has to tell us here, it throws up the following fact. Number one, they went to their own company. We said paying attention, or closer attention to Luke's submission, throws up the following fact. Number one, they went to their own company. So they had a company. Do we see that? They were not in isolation. Mm-mm. Even though church is house to house, right? But they had a company. So you must know your company, even though the church, even if it is house to house, I have a company, I have a group of persons called the brethren that I know are part of my family. Number two, they reported all that the chief priest and the elders had said unto them. They reported all that the chief priest had said unto them. All that the chief priest and the elders had said unto them, they reported. Observe that they didn't report to their enemies. They didn't report to their neighbors. They didn't report to their friends. They reported to their own company. To their own company. Who are you reporting your issues to? It matters. So who you are reporting your issues to, it matters very, very well. Hallelujah. I said it matters, right? Very well. Very, very well. Praise God. That is why even in the broad in the church, he says, when a brother is caught in a fault in Galatians 6:1, right? He that are spiritual. He said, let's look at it. Galatians chapter 1. Somebody read Galatians chapter 1. I mean 5:6 verse 1. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be what? Overtaken in a fault. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Are we together here? Ye that are spiritual, not just everybody, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one in meekness. All right? So it's not everything you discuss with everybody. You must know who you are talking to. You must know who you are talking to. Something happens, you carry it. Before you say, Jack, 10 people have heard it. You told 1, 2, 3. The 3 told another 1, 2, 3. Before you know, it is spreading like wildfire. You must know who you talk to. Amen. And of course, this situation, there are people that will look at you and say, Hey, sorry, that's not what you need in the day when you are confronted with issues. You need somebody that will stand with you, hold your hands, and say, that devil is a liar. It is not allowed here. Bring your hand, and you get into prayers. By the time he is done with you, you are fired up, and you are looking for that bastard devil to place him where he belongs. What happened in the course of it, there was somebody that stood in the place of prayer alongside with you. And you know, when we get into the prayers, the Spirit of God is allowed to find expression. Are we together here? So it's not everybody you discuss issues with. Every small thing, everybody must hear. And some people like sympathy very well. You just like somebody that will say, any small thing, you like sympathy, small headache, you look for blanket, thank you. When we were kids, we had our neighbor's daughter, that all you need to do is, whenever she comes to the house, all you need to do is to sit down and start saying, just do that for like, before it is 2 minutes, she will burst into cry. She will just burst, nobody has touched her, nothing has happened. You're just saying, I can never forget that. You see, I still remember, right? The other one will go, and another one, she will burst with it. She will cry like somebody just landed her a slap. Those are not the kind of people you go to when you have issues. There is a company, and it's safe to stay with your company. Hallelujah. Number 3, they lifted up their voices to God with one accord. They didn't talk about the issue. What did they do? They lifted up their voices with one accord. Hallelujah. They lifted up their voices with one accord. And prayed. And next, what happened? They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Why were they filled with the Holy Ghost? Because of the kind of prayer. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. And spoke the word of God with boldness. Hallelujah. So notice something. They had a united sense of purpose in all they did. They had a united sense of purpose in all they did. They had a united sense of purpose in all they did. You know why? Because everyone fed from the same source. Amen. You know, there are people that are feeding from a source where when they sit in church, all they are hearing is, you know, when sometimes, most all the time when we pray, sometimes God says yes. Some other times God says no. And some other times God says wait. So if you go to join forces with such a person, at the end of the day, in fact, it will affect his nature of prayer. That is when you will begin to hear, Father, if it be thy will. Hallelujah. You must know your company. That's why in Power City we keep emphasizing every moment, every time, you must belong to a house church. You must. If you don't belong to a house church, you are out of order. Everybody and everyone belongs to a house church. We have the main house, but everybody ought to be in a house church. Are we talking here? It's very important. Hallelujah. So it is obvious that everyone fed from the same source, right? And so everyone did the same thing. Since the source is the same, everyone did the same thing. Everyone did the same thing. Everyone conducted themselves in the same manner. Everyone conducted themselves in the same manner. Hallelujah. Conducted themselves in the same manner, right? Okay. Can we go on? I didn't hear everybody. Praise God. So while this account in Acts chapter 4 indicates that they prayed, it was only one of the several instances believers in the book of Acts, they had gatherings where they prayed. And notice something, Acts chapter 6 verse number 4. There were several instances where they were gathered or they gathered to pray. Acts chapter 6 verse 4. If you are there, can I hear an amen? Amen. All right, can we read it? Okay, if you are there, stand up and read. Is everybody there? I think we should read it together, right? Yes. Glory to God. So Acts chapter 6 and verse number 4. And if you're there, can I hear an amen?
Amen.
They said in verse 4, one to go, everybody. But we will give ourselves continually to what? To prayer and to what? To the ministry of the word. Now, notice something here. First of all, they said we will give ourselves to what? To prayer. How long? How many times? Continually. I need a synonym for continually. Consistently, always, continually, frequently, Oh my God. Regularly. Steadfastly. Can you imagine? Thank you. Amen. I said amen. Amen. So notice something. The word continually was translated from the same Greek word, or from the Greek word proskaterio. Proskaterio. And I'm going to spell that, the word steadfastly. It is spelled P-R-O-S-K-A-R-T-E-R-E-O. Proskaterio. Proskaterio. Okay, P-R-O-S-K-A-R-T-E-R-E-O. Proskaterio. It implies something that is done consistently and diligently. It implies something that is done consistently and diligently. Consistently and diligently. The word depicts a regular activity. The word depicts a regular activity. A regular activity. In other words, they gathered together and prayed. All right? So they gathered together, they prayed, and it was done continually. And not just prayer, but they gathered to learn the word. And so Luke is deliberate in helping his immediate audience to see that pattern, continually. A pattern, continually. Luke is very deliberate, he's very intentional to let his audience see that pattern. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So the believers gathered regularly, and we live in a world where there are all kinds of voices about the frequency of believers gathering. So notice something, we must stay and remain rooted solely on God's word in our approach to Christian meetings. We must stay rooted. We must stay rooted solely in God's word in our approach to Christian meetings. The word is our guide. In the word we see our pattern. In the word we see our mode of operation. In the word we see our mode of communication. In the word we see our mode of activities. In the word we see how things are done. We must allow the word. We must rely on the word pattern as regarding our approach. Hallelujah. Now, something happened in Ephesus. Paul's pattern of meeting in Ephesus is one that bears taking a closer look at something. And we're going to look at it. Look at Acts chapter 19, verse 8. I think we should go there so we all read that together. Acts chapter 19, verse 8. And we're going to read verse 8, verse 9, verse 10. Acts chapter 19, verse 8. Hallelujah. Are you there? All right, 19 verse 8, everybody clean, clear, want to go. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of how long? 3 months, disputing, persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Verse 9, but when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing in where? The school of one Tyrannus. Verse 10, This continued by the space of 2 years, so that they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of God, the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So from the above, we see that there was a definite physical meeting place. From the above, we see that there was a definite meeting place. Have you observed that we are given overwhelming evidences? We can see the following. There was a definite meeting place. First, it was the synagogue, and much later, the school of one Tyrannus. First, the synagogue, and much later, the school of one Tyrannus. Okay? Then secondly, we can observe that he spake boldly, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. When they sat down, there was a subject of discussion, and it was Christ-centered. He didn't change the message in the meeting. He didn't change the content of his message. It was the things concerning the kingdom of God. And we saw that they met daily, right? And as a result, what happened? All they that dwelt in Asia had the word of the Lord Jesus. Glory to God. So you can observe from this that evangelism went on hand in hand with regular teaching meetings. Evangelism went on hand in hand with the regular teaching meetings. We don't say because today there is service, I cannot do evangelism. It's not, I can't do evangelism. It went hand in hand. It went hand in hand. Glory to God. So observe that Paul separated the disciples and taught them how long? How many times? How many times in a week? Daily in the school of one Tyrannus, right? For 2 years. Okay? For 2 years. Glory to God. Look at Acts chapter 20 verse 7. Acts 20 verse 7 and verse 11. Somebody read Acts 27. Another Acts 20, 11. Yes, please. Paul did what? He preached unto them and continued his speech until midnight. Okay, even to the point of leaving, he was still teaching. Verse 11. Hallelujah. You know he's talking about Eutychus, right? Brother Eutychus. Amen. Thank God for Brother Eutychus. So here we can take note of the following. Upon the first day of the week speaks of priority. Upon the first day of the week. Upon the first day of the week. You know, he said when the disciples came together to break bread together, right? To show his priority. It appears that they built all of their activities around their church meetings. It was non-negotiable. They built all their activities around their church meetings. It was non-negotiable. And that speaks volume. I want to take a job that I know when I take that job, I will not have time. Time for church, time for Bible study. A wise man will know what to do. Amen. Somebody told Papa sometime, quite some time ago, who had a job somewhere. He was transferred actually to a particular place. And he said he was not going. Why are you not going? He said, when I go there, I know I will not have this. That work will affect my commitment. I will not have this kind of time. I will seek for another. It just shows priority. For somebody who has come to a point where you understand that this is priority and nothing takes the place of this, it comes first in my life. Amen? Glory to God. So we see them setting priorities, and then he said, when the disciples came together, and then thirdly, we see that Paul preached and he talked for a long while. Okay? And then we will observe in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1, the church in Corinth also met on the first day of the week. And you know, Paul talked about that. The first day, the church in Corinth. One of the things that happened in their gatherings was a demonstration of their collective generosity. So in First Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse number 1. Glory to God. 16 and verse number 1 to 2. We're going to read that together. So let's open to it. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse number 1 and 2. Hallelujah. Are you there? 16 verse 1. Everybody clean, clear, one to go. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Verse 2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has what? Prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Therefore, take note of something. The leader of the cell or campus has the liberty to choose a timing within the week when members will meet to fellowship. The leader of the cell or the leader of the campus is at liberty to choose a timing within the week when members will meet to fellowship. Ensuring it doesn't clash with the meeting days of the local church. Ensuring it doesn't clash with the meeting days of the local church. And also approved by leadership. In other words, it has to be approved by leadership of the local church. But the cell leader is at liberty, especially where we have time, of course, like Power City as a global church, the time we have time differences. For instance, in the US right now, they are still sleeping, right? Okay. And then in places like Kenya, they are 2 hours ahead of us. All right. In places like Ghana, they are 1 hour behind us. Okay. And like that. Okay. And then as we're talking right now in Australia, what's the time now? I think they are sleeping now in Australia. Okay. It's not long they went to bed, but your day just started. Okay. So time differences. Okay. So there is no rigidity as regarding, you know, the times of worship. You know, but it must be such that there is no clash. Glory to God. Are we together? Praise God. So notice something. For the purpose of order and submission and accountability, The cell, as a functional basic unit of the local church, will pick its meeting days in such a way that the meetings of the local church takes preeminence. And I'm going to take that again. I say, for the purpose of order and submission and accountability. Order, submission, accountability. The cell, as a functional basic unit of the local church. Talking about the cell now. A functional basic unit of the local church. Functional basic unit of the local church will pick its meeting days in such a way that the meetings of the local church takes preeminence and have a higher priority. The meetings of a cell group must never clash with the meeting of the local church. Must never clash. Do I take that again?
Yes, sir.
Oh my. So we say, for the purpose of submission and accountability, the cell, as a functional basic unit of the local church, functional basic unit of the local church, will pick its meeting days in such a way that the meeting of the local church takes preeminence and have a higher priority. Takes preeminence and have a higher priority. That way, its members will also play an active, integral part in the larger church. That way, its members will also play an active, integral part in the larger church. Actually, in the larger church meetings that battered the cell meetings. Should I take that again?
Yes,
from where? Eh? Eh? I'm just hearing all kinds of things. We say the local church will pick its meeting days in such a way that the meetings of the local church take preeminence, right? And have a higher priority. That way, its members will also play an active integral part in the larger church or larger church meetings that battered the cell meetings. Larger church that battered the church meetings or cell meetings, right? Yeah. You know, it's the larger church that bettered the smaller unit, right? Basic functional unit. That's why we call them the cells. All right? And we do that for the purpose of growth, for the purpose of reaching more people, for the purpose of raising more disciples. Then ultimately, Jesus' message is able to spread, you know, beyond limits and boundaries. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Okay, my time is almost up. Amen. I'm going to receive questions. Let me use the remaining minutes to answer questions. If there are question, praise God. Please, quickly, straight to the point. Help us with the other microphone. Hallelujah.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Yes. Also, we need to understand that it must be given to prayer. So, sir, I want to know, is there any efficacy in praying out loud, and what relevance is there in praying out loud? Yes. Because we're having a discussion amongst ourselves here, and we're talking about praying out, that although the efficacy is not in the audibility, rather it's in the deals with the heart and all of that. So I want to know, what's the efficacy in the audibility?
Okay. Well, yeah, it's audibility, not loudness. Okay. Yeah, you can. You're audible. You know, not loudness, not being loud. You mustn't scream. You mustn't shout. Okay, but you are speaking, and in speaking, I can be speaking. Thank you, Father. I am born of the Spirit. I'm born of the Word. So I walk in the newness of life. You know. Most of the times, when you hear yourself say the things, your reality concerning yourself, it builds you up as an individual. Number two is when you pray in the Holy Ghost. You know, when you pray in tongues, you don't pray in your heart. All right? Even though it is from the heart, but it finds expression through the mouth. So as you're speaking, you are built up. As you're speaking, you discover that, you know, the supernatural begins to take over. And that is why sometimes when you start praying, even though your body is not feeling like it, but after a short while, you just discover that you are charged up and you are in the spirit, you are everything just adjust to fit into that moment. Do you understand?
Yes,
sir. Yeah, so it's not loud, but it's necessary that you pray, speaking. When you pray, you say. And saying begins from the heart, it finds expression through the mouth. Amen.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for your teaching, sir. Please, my question is about the house church.
Okay.
Because sometimes there's this challenge to some people. They will say they would not like to go to somebody's house to fellowship. And you know, at the point, sometimes a man will tell his wife, why do you go to somebody's house in the name of church? I don't like that place. I don't like that house. Supposed to be in a public place. So how do we manage such situation?
Okay, so that is, you know, there is no one rule to that. Okay, so in that kind of a situation, the woman, if it is a sister, okay, who is married and the husband is not comfortable about her going to another brother's house for service, because sometimes it can happen. Okay, so in such a thing, she can receive. That is why we don't have only one. Okay, the head of that fellowship there, the one who is the leader, can look into that and make certain decisions. All right? Because you can't say to tell the woman, you must come by force. You man, wait first. Right from before, Jesus said, before Abraham I was. So you don't get into unnecessary talks. You have to find a way and walk around it. And you have to just look at, even if it means moving the fellowship to their own house, all right? Sometimes you can rotate. When you do it here, then you can do it in their own house so that the man who is the husband can have a feel of what is going on. But of course, somebody who is in the same church, again, will not have issue with his own family going to another house, all right? So it depends on the situation, but in situations like that, the leader of the fellowship should look into it and give an appropriate advice. And where the leader does not know what to do, you can seek from the higher authority. I mean, in this local assembly, we have pastors that can give you counsel on what to do, and Papa is there as well. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. Enjoy your day.